And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in today to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. We have Ricky Duran on today for the second time in our history here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We have a big show with Ricky tonight at Off the Rails in Worcester. Doors for that are open at 7 o'clock. There are a few tickets left available if you're in the area and are here for the holidays. Come out and see a local hometown hero in Ricky Duran. It's going to be a great show. We're going to talk a lot about it, so I don't want to talk too much about it right now. We talk a lot about it in the episode. But it's a huge pleasure and a huge honor to have Ricky on the show for a second time. I remember when Ricky first came on, he was like my first, like really like known person that I had on the show at that time. And now that's been, it's been almost 2 years at this point since he's been on. So a big thank you for Ricky and everybody that has made this work. Like I said, I don't want to talk about too much about the show tonight because, like I said, we do talk about it quite a bit in the episode. But again, if you're here for the first time, thank you so much for coming on and checking us out. We have Ashley Barron as well released today as an episode. Tomorrow we have Noah Smith on the show, and then we're going to take a couple of days off, and then we have JR the Handler on for our 200th episode on Tuesday. Don't want to miss that. And then we're releasing a shit ton of shows next week. So I know it's a lot, but I appreciate y'all for being here. Go check us out on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the whole nine yards. We're there. We're everywhere. So thank you for checking us out today. I hope you enjoy the episode. Not a lot to say because we talk so much about everything in this episode. But Ricky, thank you for being on again. I look forward to seeing you this evening. And we will connect when I get there. And, you know, again, thanks, man. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. So without further ado, our conversation with the wonderful and the wonderfully talented and our hometown hero, Ricky Duran. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Ed.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great, man.
Perfect.
What's going on? It's been a long time.
It has been, man. A lot. I've been real busy. I've been picking up gigs out here in Austin, Texas, about six days a week right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, keeping busy is good, man.
For sure. Yeah, for a while, I wasn't doing so many gigs. I was just doing ticketed shows, and, you know, that was fun and everything, but I come back to the grind, and it's helped me creatively and just honestly just help me with keeping up my chops and practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now when you're not playing shows, are you always constantly playing in some fashion?
Yeah. You know, for instance, yesterday I had a day off, but I actually went to my friend's show, and Austin is an interesting place where if you're in the music scene, it's very small, but like very small community, but like they called me on stage. So, you know, even though I had the night off, I was playing last night too, you know?
Right. Right. Now,
But like in a situation like that, I mean, do you ever really have a day off?
Only if I, to be honest with you, if I'm home and I don't end up going to a show or anything like that, it is a day off, but I'm usually, you know, writing a song or, you know, practicing some in some shape or form.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, cause the last time we talked, you know, we went to it to length about The Voice and, you know, all that stuff, but I really wanted to kind of, you know, today dive into, you know, your roots here, right? And what this area means to you, because we're prepping for, you know, this show here on the 22nd at Off the Rails and stuff. So, you know, I kind of want to dig into, you know, what this area, you know, has meant to you. And, you know, obviously being from here, obviously it means a great deal to you, but, you know, just kind of like, you know, about that and what the city of Worcester has done for you and you have done for it and, sure, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, my parents moved from Guatemala to Quincy, Massachusetts. And then they had my sisters, they had me. I was raised in Grafton. So, whole life playing music and enough to me that supported me. And as I got older and continued my career, my home really, really has always supported me. And I really saw that during my time on The Voice, seeing how much support I had in the city. You know, the mayor came out to my show at Hanover Theater, gave me the key to the city. And they've, you know, Worcester's always been kind of championing me and honored for that. So every time I come home for a show, it's really nostalgic. And I get to see, you know, people that I start my career with. I'd go to a local, you know, pub or something. And it's really great to see some of the same fans I had back in the day coming to my bigger shows now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you ever come back home and miss living here?
Yeah, for sure. I, things, you know, I miss my friends, my family, especially my four nephews. Every time I go up there, it's tough to leave. But unfortunately, you know, I gotta think, where's it intelligent for me to live, given my career? And, you know, right now I still find that being in a music city such as Austin, LA, Nashville, maybe New York, is best for me. And I was actually toying with the idea of moving to Nashville again months ago because one of my buddies moved in there from Austin, and he's having a great time. I just, you know, I visited him and I love that city, and it could be a good move. But I'm still enamored with Austin, and I have a great network here. So I think I'm going to stick it out here for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you have somewhere, you know, that you can really, you know, kind of call your own, it's hard to leave that, especially, you know, in the industry that you're in.
For sure. For sure.
Now, I know we talked about it last time, but what is to you the major difference between Austin and Nashville?
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think the difference for the most part, I would say, is that I think Austin is a little more live music oriented, and they still, it's a little less refined than Nashville, and that's what kind of turns me on about the city. It's not processed yet; it's still very raw, as opposed to Nashville is, you know, although it's well polished. It gives me those LA vibes where it's a little bit too refined for my taste sometimes.
Right, it's a little too flashy still.
Yeah,
where you can like where you can be in Austin and hear some, you know, real raw authentic, you know, singer-songwriter original music, and in Nashville a lot of the time it's, you know, cover bands.
Right, right.
So for what you're doing, you know, and the way you're playing and the way you're writing, do you ever find it where it's like, all right, well, when I'm, you know, depending on the mood or the, you know, the state you're in, do you ever feel like, you know, maybe somewhere else at the time would suit you better, or do you just like how it evolves where you're at?
So, you know, I have been thinking about that quite a bit. I have a producer friend in LA who's been trying to get me out there to record. And I have some people in Nashville that are, they've been trying for years to get me to move out there. And to be honest, maybe, you know, I could possibly do well in either of those cities. But there comes a point where I have to say, you know, on top of my, you know, it's not just my career, but where am I going to be happy? You know what right. I mean? That's a whole nother aspect. And I'm really comfortable in Austin, you know?
Yeah. That's great. I mean, it's from what I gather, you know, Austin over the last few years has just kind of exploded too.
Oh yeah, it's been on the come up. A bunch of comedians, you know, Joe Rogan moved out here, and the music scene has definitely come up quite a bit too.
Yeah. Have you been to the Mothership since it's opened?
Yeah, you know, actually, last month I got a chance to go in after hours. I have a friend who does sound there. And he had me on stage, and I played. I was just playing for an hour. He was testing the sound and everything. They have such an amazing sound system in there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Is it as nice as, you know, Rogan makes it sound on the podcast?
It really is. Yeah, it's that was my first time in there, but it's pristine. It's a great venue.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I wish more places had something like that.
Yeah, me too. I'm really, actually, really proud of Joe Rogan for coming here and doing that right on the strip, too. It's right on, you know, we call it 36, which would be the equivalent of, you know, Broadway in Nashville.
Okay.
It's really cool that he took that spot.
Now, is that an area where it's, you know, because the way he makes it sound like it was like a dilapidated building before he came in?
Pretty much. I think it was a movie theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason we call it 36 out here. It's it's kind of divey, but it still is the place to be, you know?
Yeah. Now, does it have that lower Broadway feel where it's like one thing on top of another on top of another?
Yeah, some venues are like that. Nashville is definitely has more of that. Nashville is like every bar has like three different you know, musicians or bands on every level. Whereas Austin, I think there's a couple venues like that, but mostly it's like one or two, you know, musicians in a bar at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild how, you know, Nashville can get away with that and be so successful with it.
I know. That's another thing though, on Broadway. A couple things like for live musicians, if you're playing on the strip, they, you know, strictly want kind of top 40 covers. Whereas here in Austin, they kind of let you do your thing wherever you're playing. You can do originals as long as, you know, you sound good. They're not going to say anything.
Right, right. Now, when you're playing in Austin, do you have like spots that you're regularly going to?
Yeah. So I have a couple residencies out here. I don't really promote too much on my socials for those. I kind of promote more for ticketed events. But I have, you know, a weekly slot at this place called Friends, which is actually a really iconic blues club out here. And, you know, I love playing there because they actually don't want you to play, you know, your typical covers. They'll kind of deter you from that. They won't even you know, enjoy if you play that. They want to hear some raw blues stuff and old time music, which is really cool because that's what I grew up listening to, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have, let's see, two other spots with residencies a week.
Now, how does that work?
So, I mean, you know, luckily for me, and not to sound conceited in any way, but it's those gigs have kind of fallen into place pretty easily for me. Because, I mean, I have been here for 5 years. So at this point, I really don't have to go seeking gigs. I kind of get asked, and if I enjoy the place and it, you know, feels right, then I'll be like, all right, let's keep this going, you know, every week until something changes.
Nice. Yeah. So there's no like set timetable where it's like, all right, you have this residency until the first of the year or what, you know, whatever the case may be. There is no like set time. It's just until you guys decide to part ways.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's definitely, I've had instances where it's like, okay, we can have a residency for 3 months and then we'll like reevaluate. But for instance, you know, somewhere like Friends, the bar I was telling you about, I'll probably, you know, continue my residency there, but look for a better time slot. Cause right now I'm kind of doing a Wednesday afternoon, which I enjoy cause I can, it's kind of practice for me and I can try out some new original music. But like a Friday afternoon might be better. So stuff like that, you know, if you prove yourself, you're there playing, they might move you to a better slot in, you know, a couple months.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, is it, you know, on this, in this area, on this strip, is it like that where it's, you know, constant music all the time, or is there breaks where it's like, you know, maybe on Monday or Tuesday you might not hear much, but from Wednesday on you will?
So yeah, there's definitely more music during the weekends, but there's these venues that consistently, you know, daily have live music, such as you know, Blind Pig, Shakespeare's Pub, Friends. These are all on the main strip that they have music, I'm pretty sure, pretty much 24 hours a day.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's awesome. I actually love it.
Could you imagine something like that happening here, you know, in Boston or Worcester or,
man,
you know, just you know, a couple of venues that just are like constantly cranking out tunes?
I really wish, I wish it was like that. Maybe I wouldn't have to be here in Austin.
Right. I just wonder if I don't even know if it would like survive
the way life is. Yeah, I'm not sure that it could happen, you know, up in Mass. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we just live so fast and it's like, so hurry up and, you know, hurry up to the next thing. Hurry up to the next thing. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I love my hometown of Worcester, but I think after COVID even, a lot of the venues kind of slowed down with hiring live music. It's kind of tough to go see a show regularly. I'm not sure if, like, you know, throughout the week there's that much live music to go and see.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's mostly Thursday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's tough, man. It's really tough.
For sure. Yeah, one of my favorite spots.
Now we're gonna thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of the Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out. ThePorchSouthern.com.
That I used to play at. I had a residency there, actually, in Worcester. Michael's Cigar Bar just closed down a few months back. And I was so bummed because they were one of the last venues that consistently had music at least Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hoping they open up something else.
Yeah, it was wild. I couldn't believe it because it was like one night it was there. You know, we're up in that area quite a bit with our, you know, our partnership with Off the Rails. So, and with that being so right next door, it was, you know, we would see it all the time. It was, and it was always popping. And then it was like one weekend it was there, and then the next weekend it was gone.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's a shame because I'd only gone in there a few times, but like every time I went in there, it was an awesome time.
Yeah, they had a, they really had some great live music in there. And my old band, Blue Light Bandits, they're actually going to be backing me on the show on the 22nd. We're kind of reuniting for that show.
Oh, sick.
Which will be, yeah, really cool. There's some very talented dudes. We got Dan DeCristofaro on keys, Ethan Bates on bass. My drummer's flying in from here. He was actually our old drummer. He came down here with me, Mike Braz. And then we're having a very talented percussion player with us. And their current guitar player, Jay, is going to be backing us. So it's like an all-star lineup. And I think the show's going to be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Now, how did you decide, or did was it you that decided who was opening the show?
Yeah, it was it was me. You know, some venues decide to pick that for you, but Off the Rails is a cool spot, and they trusted my, I guess, they allowed me to navigate who I wanted to open. And Desi Garcia is a local Worcester dude who I've known for a long time. He's a younger guy who's been doing it for years. And not only are we friends, but I really respect his you know, determination to keep pushing through music and any chance I get to, you know, bring up, you know, somebody who I feel deserves to be seen. I love to do that. So yeah, I'm excited to have Desi open.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really great. Now, what can we expect from this show? Like, what is it going to be a typical Ricky Duran show, or is it going to have a little, you know, a little more to it?
Yeah. Well, honestly, man, every time I come back to Worcester, it's a whole, it's usually my favorite show of the year, you know, and every show is different. I never do the same set. But this time in particular is going to be really cool because, like I said, reuniting with my old band, we'll have all the original members of Blue Light Bandits. And, you know, I know a lot of my fans have seen me for years in that band. So I think it's going to be kind of like a nostalgic moment. And there's definitely be some awesome musical stuff happening just because we've known each other for years. And, you know, you can really feel that connection when you're performing with musicians that you've known, that know you not only musically, but, you know, as a friend very well. It actually adds a lot to the music, in my opinion. But yeah, they can expect some new music that hasn't been released. And I'm definitely going to be playing some blues for everybody.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, is there any Christmas music in the set, seeing it's so close to, you know, seeing it is Christmas weekend pretty much?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to throw at least one in there for everybody. I'm probably going to do, I released a Christmas tune last year. This Christmas with Katie Caden from my season of The Voice. It's a Donny Hathaway tune. It's one of my favorites. So I think we'll probably hit that one.
Nice. Mm. Nice. I can't wait to, this is going to be my first time actually seeing you.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the last couple of times you were here, when you opened Off the Rails that weekend, we were away. And then the next time when you played the Hanover or whichever way that worked, that was another one that we just weren't around for.
Well, man, thank you for coming out. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm psyched. You know, it's great to see, you know, a local guy that has done really well come back home and play.
For sure. And I think, I feel like my live shows are so much different than, you know, my record, which might be the case for most artists, but yeah, I'm glad you're gonna make it out, man.
Yeah, me too. It's you know, You know, it's funny because it's like when we had you on the show the last time, you know, like a lot of your family, friends, you know, from home, like started following us, right? Uh-huh. And then there was a lot of, you know, a lot of conversations had and stuff. So it'll be nice to start to see people and put faces to names and all that, which, will, you know, I'm sure they'll all be there. So that's, I'm looking forward to that a lot myself.
For sure. Yeah. I think most of those, you know, my family will definitely come in and, I know that, yeah, a lot of them, like you said, have started following your podcast, which is cool, man. It's awesome to be, you know, connected in that community.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like, so the last time you were on, Space and Time hadn't even come out yet.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, we had you on, I think, in like January of 22.
Wow.
Yeah, it was short. It wasn't, you know, there was a few weeks in between both, but, you know, it's wild because this is a great album. You know, you know, it's a little quote unquote old now, right? to a lot of people, but you know, start to finish, it's so solid.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, that's the funny thing. Just to backtrack a bit, when you finish a record, man, unfortunately, it goes like this, man. When you get in the studio, you play these songs over and over. By the time the record's done, as an artist, I don't even want to play the songs anymore.
Because, oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I've played them to death. And so it's always like, you know, on to the next one.
Right.
Which is great for growth. But I wish I could just be like, yeah, I love playing this record now. You know, I'll probably play a couple tunes from Space and Time at this show coming up the 22nd. But, you know, it's more fun for me to play some new stuff and, you know, work through just new material.
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's that thing, you know, it's just, you know, I say it to artists all the time, like, you must get sick of playing these songs. And, you know, it's always, you know, of course, it's always the answer is, oh, no, you know, I love playing all these songs all the time. And it's like, come on. I love how honest you are about it. You know, it's like, there's no way you love to play that same song that everybody knows you for over again.
Yeah, that's a way that a lot of musicians get stuck, right? They'll get like a one-hit wonder, and then everyone just wants to hear that song. They'll go to the show and they'll be like, what is all this? Just play that one song, you know?
Right.
Which is a little unfortunate, but luckily I would love to have, you know, a hit song like of that, you know, stature, but but yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? It's just it's tough if you get stuck in that place, you know.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, I see, you know, through, you know, some of the numbers I've seen and all that, you know, it looks like, you know, She Closed Her Eyes is one of the most played songs on your stuff. So do you have that kind of sentiment with that song where
is special to me. Every time I play that song, it's still, you know, it has a very strong emotion because, I mean, that's a very personal song to me. And I don't actually play it out too much.
Really?
No, I actually, it's a song that doesn't work everywhere. For instance, you know, my six days a week out here in Austin, I hardly ever play She Closed Her Eyes because it's a song that I need to respect, like, and I need the audience to respect it too. If I'm playing it in a bar where people aren't really there for.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
You know, to really listen, I wouldn't do the song justice, you know, and it's a song that needs to be felt and heard. So, you know, I could play it at a ticketed event and I'm actually planning it. I'm playing it the 22nd, because when that song really hits, it you can feel it in the room.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there is a lot of emotion to it, so I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. You know,
I guess the song that, if I were to, you know, have one song that I'm like, I really don't want to play this, just because I've played it so much and people know me for it, is probably it's probably A Woman Like Her.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very poppy song. It doesn't necessarily, unfortunately, mean that much to me. It's not that emotional to me.
Right.
So I kind of get that feeling of, I really rather not play this tune when people ask.
Now, for A Woman Like Her, right, did you write that solely for the purpose to play it on The Voice?
So no, I arranged that song, but it was written by my buddy actually in Nashville, Eric Posley. The way that worked was, you know, they have the week of you doing an original song, and I honestly hated that they called it that, seeing as I didn't write the song. I kind of put it together. I heard a kind of a bootleg recording of Eric playing it just onto his phone, and I was like, I know this song is great, like we can make this a hit tune, you know. I got together with the band on The Voice, and we kind of together we created what it is now. You know, in that sense, it's original in the fact that no one has heard this song before. And yes, I arranged it. But I was always kind of weirded out that they called it my original song when my buddy Eric wrote it. And I actually messaged him before, just out of respect, just to be like, hey, man, I'm playing, you know, the song you wrote. Although they're calling it original tune, I'm telling everybody you wrote the song. I'm not trying to play it off, you know, like, you know, I just wrote it alone. So. But yeah, it's a great tune, man. It's an awesome song. Eric's a great writer.
Yeah. Now, you know, when they release songs from voice artists, you know, like you have a bunch on Spotify and stuff. Are those recorded before you actually do them, you know, for the show, or are those show recordings?
They're done before the show. So it gets, man, when you start recording and it goes to the live, the lives on TV, it happens so quick. Like, you're doing a new song every week, and you've got to get in the studio, record the song, and then perform it live. We were in the studio recording those before performing them live.
Now, do you find that a good thing or a bad thing?
You talking about the how fast it goes, or?
Yeah, well, yeah, like, how fast it goes, how, you know, does it make it a little, I guess the question is, does it make it kind of disingenuous when it's like, you know, you're playing this song on TV, but you've already, you know, now they try to sell it where it's like, you know, this is the first time ever they're playing it, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right. I get what you're saying. I don't think it's, I've never felt disingenuous to me.
Okay.
But, I mean, the pace of those shows is just insane. Like, by the end of the season, you're just like in a haze, like, what just happened, you know? You definitely can't keep that up for too long. I definitely had some friends who were kind of burning out, and you know, it's tough to keep your voice on during all that stressful time. You know, they're waking you up at 5 a.m getting you to hair and makeup, and then, you know, rehearsal, and then you got to go into the studio. Whereas nowadays, if I go in the studio, I make sure to rest the night before, you know, wake up ready to go, you know. So
right.
In that sense, they kind of wear you down for sure.
Now, the first time we talked, I don't think I had the balls to ask, but yeah. Now that I've been doing this for a little while since the last time we talked, what was, you know, because we've heard some, you know, pretty much some horror stories. So what was your take for The Voice once you left? Was it overall positive? Was it overall, did it matter? You know, how was it for you?
Yeah, yeah. So to be honest, I went into, you know, into the show kind of with a thought of, you know, I don't know exactly how these shows work, but I'm pretty sure they're not as genuine as they try to be, you know. I think that my experience overall was very good. The producers treated me well. Blake was very kind to me. He actually did really introduce me to his producer, who I still have contact with in Nashville. I send him, you know, songs that I write, and he, you know, reports back and gives me his advice, and which is awesome. And anytime I go to Nashville, I got a place to play at Old Red, Blake's place. Now the downsides, if I were to have any, where, you know, basically the contract that they sign everybody into is totally bogus. And everyone kind of knows that, even the judges know that. You know, Blake was telling me, you know, the contract's pretty gnarly. So, you know, basically they have the opportunity to lock you down for years, and hold you from signing with anybody else. If they want to keep that going. But usually they don't. Usually after 6 months, you're a free agent. But yeah, it's unfortunate that they hold you for the first 6 months after the show, because that is when you have the most eyes on you. You have the most opportunity to potentially sign to a major record during those times, and you can't.
Right.
You know. But overall, you know, I got to say that it definitely has helped my career.
Oh, I'm sure. You know? I'm sure. Do you think it would have been different? Do you think your career would have gone in a different way if you had won and or, you know, gone home a lot sooner?
Yeah, for sure. As far as winning, I don't know how much it would have changed my outcome or where I am right now.
Sure.
Other than, yeah, you get some money, you get some cash from winning the show, which would have been nice. But besides that, I think that me and Jake and Katie kind of had a very similar amount of exposure on the show. So I'm not sure that that would have affected me. If I went home earlier, yeah, I guess I kind of would have been a little bummed, and I definitely wouldn't have as many eyes on me as I do now.
Yeah,
I kind of feel fully fulfilled. People ask me, like, how do you feel about not winning the show? And I say this, like, I actually mean it when I say that I feel totally fulfilled with what I did on the show. And I really have no, I guess, I never find myself wishing that I won the show, you know? Because in my eyes, I was literally there till the last moment of the airing of the show on national television, which is pretty much the best thing you can gain from an opportunity like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's, you know, that's that exposure alone, right? It doesn't even matter what happens next.
Right, right, right.
You know, the exposure there is crazy.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, especially when you're, you know, you may or may not know who's in the audience, but you don't know who's watching on TV, you know?
Right.
That's wild. That's wild. You know, it's so funny because it's like we hear so many so many stories from The Voice, because it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, you know, song, you know, singer shows right. out, you know?
Yeah.
It's quite insane how, you know, how different everybody's.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
You know, kind of take from it was.
For sure. For sure. And I think everyone's experience on it is different. I know, like I said, the producers really, really liked me, and they were very kind to me. And I know that, I guess, sometimes people don't have the same experience.
Yeah. You know, because we were talking to Jay Allen, and I think he was in the season after you or whatever. You know, and he flat out said in our show, he was like, I told the producers, I'm out of here. I'm all done. I don't want to go on anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that's wild, too. I'm sure there's plenty of those instances, too.
For sure, yeah. I've had a, even before the show starts, I had a lot of musician friends that I made over there just walk out after seeing the contract that they were going to have signed. They just said, no, I'm packing up. I'm going home.
Damn. Yeah. Damn. You know, and it's funny because then you see, you know, these big mega stars that have gone and auditioned for these shows, whether it's this one or Idol or, you know, whatever, and don't even get, you know, get through anything. And now, you know, like Morgan Wallen, and, you know, he's the biggest thing out there.
Right. Did I tell you that I auditioned for the show once before, and it was his season. So I hung out with him for quite a while.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we were at the same hotel for about a month, and we partied together and hung out.
How was that? How was young Morgan before?
Young Morgan, man, he was a cool guy, man. He's always had that charisma about him. You know, it's funny when it was just, you know, funny seeing him come up and me being like, wait a minute, that's Morgan. You know what I mean? Because I knew him as a young, I guess a little less confident Morgan Wallen, but
yeah,
but no, he was always very kind, very charismatic, real talented. Yeah, got nothing bad to say about him.
No, yeah, I mean but you're right. I think you're absolutely right. You know, you look back at those clips, and he definitely lacked the confidence for sure.
Yeah,
you know, the voice was there, but the confidence was definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, I think he just really found himself or came into who Morgan Wallen is now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, right place, right time.
Yeah. Wrote some great tunes too. He has some great.
Yeah. Tunes. Yeah. So now, you know, now with you doing all this and coming home this coming weekend, mm-hmm. For the show, you know, how often do you get up here?
You know, it's been about every few months. I take a trip up there. I was up there not too long ago for Thanksgiving. My sisters surprised me and got me a ticket home. And that was the first time in a long time that I really just hung out. It wasn't like, you know, to record or to have a show, which was honestly pretty refreshing. Every time I go up there, it's like, you know, I get to see my family, but I'm also working.
Yeah.
Like this time. But you know, I get in there, I play the show the 22nd, and I get to spend Christmas with my family. So I'll be in town for probably about a week or so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great, man. It's nice to, you know, I'm sure it's nice to come home every now and again and see everybody and, you know.
Yeah, also, get a little taste. Also the winter, like over here it was like 60 degrees yesterday, which is cool, but it's nice to go home and hopefully have a white Christmas for a week.
Not happening, man. Not happening.
No?
No. Why would you say that? What's wrong? Come on.
See, I miss the snow right now, but at least I can don't. Fly out, you know? I ain't got a
shovel. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, you know, that's my biggest thing about the weather up here is, like, I'm all done with the snow, man. I can't.
That was half the reason I left, though. I'm not going to lie. I was playing gigs and just having to lug all my equipment in at the time. And I'd go in there, like, you know, after stepping in a big, you know, pile of snow with, you know, my shoes all wet. And I was like, I remember one time I was just like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, I love New England and the weather's nice once in a while, but for me, it was always after New Year's. I was like, please, no more.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Because, you know, and it's wild. Like, this weekend coming, it's going to be in, like, the mid-50s all weekend.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's been, you know, 30, 40 the last few days. And it's like, just make up my mind. Are you cold or are you not?
I hear that. I mean, I could do, you know, it'd be nice if I get up there in its 50s. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember a few years ago. This is probably a decade ago now. Well, maybe not. Maybe like 8 years ago. And, you know, Christmas Day, it was like 65. It was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of weather I want.
But I got to be honest, man. I mean, I would love to see some snow while I'm up there.
No. Then
snow for Christmas, man.
Get in the car, go up to Wachusett. I'm sure they've got snow on the mountain at this point. Oh God, I can't. I get it though. You know, being in Austin, you don't see snow anymore.
No, and actually, if we do, it's a problem. So, you know, last time, I don't know if we talked about it last time, but there was a whole basically city shutdown when we had the freeze over here. It snowed, and they don't have the infrastructure to handle weather like that. So.
Yeah,
pipes for freezing and electricity went out, and it was like the apocalypse over here, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. I remember that when that happened. And yeah, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you live in a place like that where they don't expect it and then it happens. You know, it's wild.
Yeah, we're hoping that doesn't happen this year. We'll see.
Yeah, no. Yeah, don't. Hopefully, because the weather's been crazy. It's been nuts.
It has been.
So is there anything else you want to prep us for the show on the 22nd here in Worcester?
Yeah. So actually I'm working on, these new songs, like I was saying earlier, that I haven't released yet. Most of them are, you know, in the works, but not totally finished yet. Really excited to showcase those tunes. No one's heard them before. So the only place you can hear them is at the show on the 22nd until they're released probably sometime in January or February.
Nice.
Yeah, also really looking forward to Desi Garcia's set. Great artist. He does original stuff, and he's playing acoustic. I haven't seen him in a minute, so it's going to be cool to reunite with him. And the Blue Light Bandits guys backing me up is going to be a night to remember, man. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope everybody enjoys it. There's still some tickets available, so go online, grab those. VIP is sold out at the moment, but there's still standing room. So come down, enjoy it, the 22nd.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. We're looking forward to it, and we'll say hi. We'll make it a point to say hi, and you know, grab a picture and
for sure
post it all over the internet because that's what I do.
You got my number, man.
I do.
Just shoot me a text when you get there. We can link up.
I will. Ricky, thank you so much for coming on and shooting the breeze and catching up. And I'm glad everything's going well for you. And we look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. I'll see you
anytime, man. Anytime. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Ricky Duran tonight. Off the Rails in Worcester. Doors open at 7. A few tickets are available if you are in the area. If you're not, follow us along. We're going to be there. And we'll be posting pictures and stuff, and then we'll write up a review that should be out probably sometime later next week for the show. So thank you again, Ricky, for being on. Like I said, looking forward to meeting you finally in the flesh tonight. So thanks for everybody for listening today. That's it, guys. You know, we got a lot going on. Like I said, Norah Smith's on the show tomorrow. Ashley Barron also released today. We're going to take a few days off here for Christmas. Merry Christmas if you celebrate. If not, happy weekend. And that's really it. Go check us out on everything. As you could probably tell from our conversation with Ricky, we're all about, you know, the story here. We're all about the conversation. We're all about real people. Real stories, real country, guys. Whatever that means to you, that's what we are here. Whatever country means to you, that's what we do. So until next time, guys, thank you so much. Keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. I would love it if you joined us for the rest of our episodes this year. and into next year. And, you know, even if you go out and check out older episodes, you can see the evolution of this show. It's pretty interesting. So thank you all so much. Till next time, guys. As always, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Have a great weekend. Merry Christmas. Cheers.